Let's put a smile on that face.
What is up, everybody? How's it going? How you been? You miss me? I missed you. Ah, man, it's been so long, and I apologize for taking so long for this part two of Iron Fist Season 2 review. And so much has happened since my absence. A lot of news has been brewing about Iron Fist, and I'm gonna get to that in a minute. But I had time to actually think about the second half of Iron Fist. And, well, it was a letdown. The second half of Season 2, it was a bit of a downer for me. It seemed like it just reverted right back to all of the issues of the first season. And I just don't get it. The first five episodes were really good. They were fast-paced, still telling a very good, compelling story. And just after, I would give six an excuse. Six was still good. But from seven on down, it was just why? Why? What just happened, man? What happened? You guys were doing so good, and then y'all just dropped the ball on it, man. What I noticed in the second half, it started to slow down, which is fine. I mean, because like I said, the first five were pretty much fast-paced. Yeah, I guess you're going to have a show should have at least one or two episodes that slows down and just lets the story build, you know, for a pretty good climax towards the end of end of the season. Well, it slowed down and it kept slowing down up until the last episode. In the last episode, it seemed like it was just trying to make up for all the time that it was just dragging. And by the time the last episode happened, it was just too much going on. Way too much going on. Another issue that I noticed in the second half was that Danny Rand kind of just fell on the back burner, and the supporting cast kind of just outshined him, which was the issue in season one, but that was like the entire season. Of season one, that everybody was just doing way better than him. His character is meant to be confident in himself. At least that. I mean, knowing he can do what he can do. He knows one thing for sure. He is the immortal Iron Fist, and nobody's gonna take that from him. And we just started to see him become that insecure, whiny, just low self-esteem character he was in season one. Like, by now, he should have already become more mature of himself and more confident in his abilities and being Iron Fist. One more issue. We never got to see Danny fight the dragon. I know this is season two, but I think I would have loved to see him fight Shao Lao. I would have loved to see him fight the dragon. It's been brought up many times since the first season of Iron Fist to the Defenders to now, season two. But we never got to see that. It's delved into Danny's past in Kunlun when he finally got the powers of Iron Fist, it went to that path, that part of his own past. And here in season two, you got to see him fight Davos, and so he could fight Shao Lao to become Iron Fist. We've seen the before, we've seen the after, but we've never seen what happens in the middle. And I think that would have made this series a whole lot better had we have gotten that in one of these, you know, one of the seasons, whether that been in season one of Iron Fist or season two. I think that would have made the show even more interesting and would have taken Danny as Iron Fist a little more serious. I did like the plot twist towards the end. Spoiler alert. Shouldn't be, because I'm pretty sure you guys have seen season two by now. But of course, Colleen becomes the new Iron Fist. I thought that was pretty interesting, to say the least. However, this it delving into what's to come a little too much. They could have left that out, I think. The whole, you know, Danny's best friend tagging along with him in his wild adventure to figure out the history of Iron Fist was a bit much. Like, what is he gonna do? Like, really? I mean, he's gonna get in the way, honestly. I mean, but season two was such a letdown, man. And going into about now, you know, it's been a while since I've been doing this show, and then when I was about to get ready to work on part two, I hear the biggest news of all time on Netflix with Marvel shows that they canceled Iron Fist. They canceled Iron Fist, even leaving it with a huge, huge cliffhanger of, you know, Danny, you know, finding, you know, new abilities of the Iron Fist. He can channel his powers into guns, and we're not going to know how that even came to be now, and what's to come with Colleen, how is she dealing being the new Iron Fist too, and we're not going to get into that because they canceled it. Not surprised that they canceled it. Of course, the story, out of all the Marvel shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and I'm going to get to that too in a little bit, and all those shows on Netflix, Iron Fist was the weakest one. And hoping that season two was going to, you know, revive it and give it more of a chance, so hopefully season three could have made it a little better. But we're not going to get that now. The director in Marvel Television, they did say that Iron Fist will live on. Like, I guess we'll see him in other shows of Netflix, like Daredevil or Jessica Jones. Luke Cage, because, well, also Luke Cage was canceled, which shocked the crap out of me. I was shocked by that one. I did not expect Luke Cage to be canceled as well. But the good thing about that, this could mean that we might be getting Heroes for Hire, which is a Iron Fist and Luke Cage team up book. Those two actually team up in the comic books, and they're more known for that. Those two actually teaming up in the comic books. So I think that's what we're going to aim for. Because in Luke Cage season two, we got to see Danny Rand and Luke Cage kick some serious tail in the episode. In fact, that was one of my favorite episodes on Luke Cage season two. And I think that might be what they might be aiming for. There's been no news of that or of any more anything else been developed with that, but it's possible we might be getting Heroes for Hire now that Iron Fist and Luke Cage. But yeah, I believe that this won't be the last time we'll see these characters. It's possible Marvel and Netflix will use them for other show, other series. I'm pretty sure Luke Cage might reappear in Jessica Jones, because I'm still leaning on those two getting back together. I'm just saying. I like to see these. I actually like to see this. That Marvel couple of the comic books actually come into fruition. I know they're just a fling in season one, but I actually like to see them actually become a thing, an actual thing, an actual couple, an item. Personally, I like to see Iron Fist team up with Daredevil. These two are the most skilled fighters in the MCU right now. And I would like to see these two actually team up. I liked when they fought each other in Defenders. That was pretty cool. And that's when we got to see Danny Rand actually show his fighting skills a whole lot better. So, yeah. I like to see that happen. So, giving all that said about the second half of Iron Fist Season 2, it was a 9. First half was a 9. Okay, yeah. After the second half, it kind of knocked that 9 down to a 7.5. Yeah, it's a 7.5 overall. Like I said, disappointed in the second half of Iron Fist Season 2. Ah. Oh, well. It's over now. It's over. Okay, so I also told you guys I was going to do another review just to make up for lost time. And my next review is Season 3 of Daredevil. The surprise season on Netflix. Didn't think they were going to do Daredevil this year, but they end up doing it. You know, it gave us a big old surprise. It's Daredevil Season 3. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Season 3, Daredevil, was the best season yet, to my opinion. Oh my gosh. Where do I start with this show? Where do I start? This show was amazing from start to finish. Amazing. It was such a good show, man. It was such a good season, dude. Let's start off by saying that this was, out of all the seasons from all the Marvel Netflix shows, this was the best season to handle the aftermath of Defenders. To me, it just was. It was the best one to do that. And the first episode starts off by letting you know what happened to Matt. Where has he been? I mean, we all knew, just thinking he was dead, but turns out he's not. Turns out he wasn't. He actually survived that. And it was a pretty good story. Well thought out story. And just really brought everything back in together. Season 2, everybody pretty much went split up and, you know, went their separate ways. And then everything just kind of cultivated back everybody back together, you know. So it just was awesome. It was just really awesome. Wilson Bethel, who played Poindexter, Agent Poindexter, a.k.a. Bullseye. Holy crap. He was a breakthrough. Oh, excuse me. He was a breakout. He was a breakout character, without a doubt, man. So glad he wasn't that Bullseye we got from that Ben Affleck Daredevil movie a while back. But this guy is unhinged, crazy, like how he is in the comic books. And Ah, man, he was so good, dude. Wilson Bethel was amazing as Bullseye. And they made Bullseye so much more deadlier than Colin Farrell's Bullseye, which was, he was really more silly than he was really crazy. But yeah, dude, they made him so much better and just so much deadlier. This dude used butter knives to kill FBI agents. Butter knives. I mean, you really have to. I mean, yeah, you probably could do some damage with a butter knife, but you really gotta try to hurt somebody with a butter knife. Like, you really, really had to try. He did it effortlessly. Without even, just not even thinking about it. Just whoop, 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 dead, you're done. Didn't miss a mark. Didn't miss a mark. But yeah, bravo. Bravo. Bravo, Wilson Bethel. Bravo. And Vincent D'Onofrio. Holy crap. I thought he was amazing in the first season. And a little, and still good in the second season. This, he was even more better in season 3. Everything that was building up in season 2 of him planning to get out and just wreak havoc in Matt Murdock's life pretty much came in fruition. He had a thought out plan and he just went and he executed it, you know. Vincent killed. I liked him more as Kingpin in season 3 than I had in the previous seasons. Dude was a killer. Dude was a monster, dude. He made himself even more, like, he made himself more of a threat than he was previously, and that's how it should have been. Everything was building up of him getting out, wreaking havoc. He did that, man. He really did that. Deborah Ann Woll as Karen Page. You know, this season made me like her a little more. I liked her in the first season. I like where her character had this dark past, how they alluded to that, but season 2 they just kind of just put it in a back burner and didn't, nobody really explained that, and they just continued to use her and like Punisher and the Defenders, and it just made her seem this really annoying character. Like, she's just so annoying. Like, I don't know why they made her that way, but they just made her so freaking annoying in these shows. Until now, you kind of understand her background. Now, after they did an episode, they give you an episode of what happened to her prior to her going to New York. Because if you remember in season 1 where she was kidnapped by Wesley, and Wesley was trying to blackmail or whatever, and then she turned the tables by stealing a gun after he got distracted, and she's threatening him with it, and he's like calling her bluff, like, you're not going to shoot me. And then she says, like, oh, what makes you think that this is not my first time using a gun? Right then, maybe she's, oh, she shot someone, possibly killed someone before. Maybe. But yeah, you get a whole episode on that. It explains about how she ended up using a gun on someone and why she, you know, just why the person she is now. And yeah, it explains that much. But it is, I actually kind of like her more now. Still a little annoying, but but still, she's, it comes with a good reason. It does. It does come with a good reason. Ayelet Zerrer. We all know her as Vanessa Fisk. Wilson Fisk's wife. The first season, I liked her. But, you know, during the first season, you kind of thought of her being that typical, wife of a mob boss. And, like, if you've ever watched gangster movies, and like whoever they may be married to or whatever, they don't really care to know what their husbands are really up to. Like, they got an idea, you know, They get an idea, but they don't want to know any of the details. As long as you got me in a nice penthouse, nice shoes, you know, nice car and all that stuff, they're good. They're fine. And that's the typical mob boss wife I've seen in movies. And I was thinking that's what Vanessa was going to be portrayed as in this show. No. Season 3, she comes back to Wilson after a year or two, of hiding and running away from the feds. And she comes home and she kind of confronts him about not knowing exactly what he does. And, you know, and she wants to know. She wants to be part of what he does. She wants to know everything about his life, you know. And so he's like, okay, fine. Takes him to his little surveillance cam room sitting in his little penthouse, right? And sits her down. It's like, hey, so this guy here, he's going to snitch on me, and that's going to mess up everything I got going on. What did she say? She doesn't just, you know, gets all overwhelmed and it's like, this is too much, and walks out. Nope. She's like, well, we can't have that, can we? And Wilson's like, no. No, we can't. Kind of looks away like, what's happening? And she kind of turns away to his butler, and he's like, hey, you, who you got? You know, who you got left to take care of this? Because we can't handle this, right? We need this fixed like yesterday. So get somebody down there, take him out. And Wilson is just like taken back a little bit, like, whoa, like I think I just fell in love again. Like, but Islet as Vanessa was awesome. Seeing her just turn so dark so fast was amazing. It was really amazing. I mean, first season you kind of got that idea she might be like that, but it's like, okay, she's trying to be cool like her husband, but it ain't really working. But now you get it, and she's like so badass, man. She's whoa, like, yeah, she's deadly, man. She is so deadly. So the only thing I didn't like was probably to just save it for something else for probably season 4, if they're gonna do a season 4. I want to know what happened to Elektra. Like, it's possible she could have died, but I doubt that they're going to kill her off just like that. I think they're going to use her for something in future episodes or whatever. But I would have liked to know what happened to her. Maybe just some kind of sign or whatever, like a clip or just, I don't know, her, maybe she going separate ways when he was in the water or whatever, but I don't know. That's my one right, but season 3 of Daredevil was a 9.5. Oh, man, it was so good, dude. Ah, I seen it twice and may watch it for the third time, the season for the third time, man. It was so, so good. Definitely, if you haven't seen Daredevil season 3, do so before Marvel gets a little too rambunctious and cancel this show. Okay, so get on that, man. Get on it, definitely, for sure. Because season 3 was really good, without a doubt. So, in my absence, while I was gone, I went to a Comic-Con here in North Carolina, the town that I live in, Fayetteville Comic-Con, which was an amazing event. Still, this is like my second year going, and I still had fun. It was still amazing. It was, you know, awesome vendors, amazing guests came by, actors from Tony Todd, if you remember him from horror movies like Candyman, Final Destination, Night of the Living Dead, so on and so forth. Amazing actor. Didn't really get the chance to just interact with him, but I went to a panel that he crashed in funny guy, and just, and he was tall, like tall. I think he's like 6'5", maybe. I never expected him to be that tall. Maybe 6', even maybe 5'11", but I didn't think he'd be a giant. The dude's tall, but yeah. Cool guy, really cool guy. It was really amazing, really cool that for him to actually pop up like that. He's one of my mom's and my aunt's favorite horror movies. I know they both have Candyman movie, without a doubt. What else? Yeah, the comic book publishers, Aftershock, were there as well to present their latest ongoing series, Dead Kings, created by Steve Orlando and the artist Matthew Dow Smith. It's an amazing read. Just to let you guys know, if you haven't read it yet, I'm pretty sure it's in stores now. In any of your local comic book shops, I'm pretty sure it's in stands now. Definitely pick that up to read. I picked one up at the Comic-Con. I picked up the Comic-Con variant. Won't find that anywhere else but at that Comic-Con if you're there. Or if you live here in Fayetteville, you can stop by my local comic book shop, The Dragon's Lair, to pick up your issue. $10. So, yeah, man. That's a little advertisement for you. You're welcome, Bernie, if you're listening to this. yeah, I just had to give a little shout-out plug for the guys. But, yeah, it's an amazing read, amazing art. If you're into like Pacific Rim or post-apocalyptic like stories, Dead Kings is definitely the book you want to read for sure. It's but like I said, it's a fun read. You definitely should check it out. Also, during my time hanging out at the Comic-Con, bumped into some really cool cosplayers that actually turned out to be podcasters, fellow podcasters as well. I bumped into Charles from Spoil Alert. He did two different cosplays. The first day he did Killmonger, which I took a picture with him for that one, and second day he did a Green Lantern, which was really cool also. It was pretty cool design. And also I actually met, without you realizing, that he was part of a YouTube channel. He's a YouTuber, Outlook Bleaked, I believe his stage name is Captain Villain as well. But these guys are awesome. Really cool guys. And if you haven't heard of these guys, definitely check them out. Spoil Alert. They do interviews, movie reviews, public appearances, all that stuff. But and also Outlook Bleak. You can find them on YouTube, which they do movie reviews as well. These guys are really good. Really good content. Highly recommend anybody to check them out. Listen to them, watch their videos. Yeah, the guys are awesome, and hopefully in the near future I'll be able to have them on a show next season, or vice versa, be on their show. And for those who may have saw me at the Comic-Con but didn't really get to talk to me, maybe found me through Instagram, Twitter, or whatever, definitely would like to do something with you guys for sure. Giant Star Entertainment, I would definitely like to have you on the show, without a doubt. Just whoever, everybody else. I can't remember everybody else who may have followed me through on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. But yeah, definitely would like to have you on the show for next season. Speaking of which, now we come to the end, to the final episode of season one. This is it, and I have to apologize if this last episode was a little underwhelming. I apologize. I really do. I really do. But just trying to get things in order. If I don't know if I mentioned this to you in previous episodes, but about to have a baby coming soon. I'm not having a baby. My wife is having our first child, but of course, but yeah. So I gotta put this on hold for a little bit until the little guy gets here and have him settled in and stuff, and then I'll pick everything back up early of next year. Don't exactly have a exact time date, but yeah. But season two, unfortunately, will not have my co-host Devin. This won't be on next season. His scheduling is kind of out of alignment, so sucks, but you know, show's gotta go on. But Devin, if you are listening to this, you suck. Alright, you suck. I'm joking. I'm sorry. I'm kidding, man. I love you. All's forgiven. It's gonna be weird doing it without you, without a doubt. But it's been fun, definitely since we were doing it as a YouTube video and up until now. So, and I appreciate you able to do it as a podcast for a short stint of time. But yeah, who knows? Next season, I might drag him into doing an episode or two. We'll see. But what else I want to tell you guys before I go? Oh, well, season two is going to be, just give you a little heads up of what to expect, but expect to be a little better, more guests, more intriguing content without a doubt, and prizes. Yeah, prizes. You heard right. Not, and you know, just is gonna actually, you know, pay off to listen to this podcast, right? Well, I'm not talking about like money or anything like that, more like items per se. I ain't got it like that, just to let you know. But yeah, awards, you know, maybe a ticket to a movie, whatever, or an exclusive, you know, Funko Pop toy or something like that. But anyways, yeah, that's it. Oh yeah, and feedback is so appreciated, man. If you can do, you guys can do that. Let me know what you thought of the season. Whether you liked it, you know, anything. Just give me some feedback on it, because you know what you guys think about it matters to me without a doubt, and I'd like to make this show as good as possible, make it worthwhile for you to listen to. So yeah, so whether it's about the audio, the content, or you know, whatever, just let me know. I want to improve it so you guys can enjoy the show as best way as possible. But yeah, that's it. Gonna miss you guys. I know, just come back for almost 2-3 weeks and bam, I'm gonna be gone for another month or so. But yeah, when I come back, guys, it's wheels are gonna be rolling, and it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be awesome, without a doubt. But I'm definitely peeping on social media, without a doubt. Just give you guys a heads up on what to expect and what's in store for season two. And yeah, so see you guys later. Peace. Extremely.